Hello, Oribu. Today is, I think it is still the 8th of May 2015. Thank you. I know it's near the 9th, but it's like, you know, still the 8th. And I just want to reflect, and if I sound a little bit too cheerful, it's because, yes, I went to the pub, and yes, I had a few drinks, and yes, it might not be the most ideal way of celebrating a surgery like gastric bypass, but how else can you celebrate it with your friends? You can't expect them to take them to a hospital ward, or, you know, where it happened, or you can't expect them to take them to a weight management program or a gym. You've got to celebrate somehow. But I just, and I don't know how this is going to work, how I can reshare a boo from 2 years ago so that not just Twitter can see it, but maybe even Audiobook can see it. I remember 2 years ago on the 8th of May, I remember listening to a radio show on Mint FM. And I think it was during their second birthday week. By the way, I just want to say I'm very sorry about Mint FM closing down. Because I have some very fond memories with this station. And I want all of you who have been working for this station, I'm praying for all of you to have a great future, whether you are going to broadcast on another server, whether you're going to stop broadcasting altogether, or whether you're just going to, I don't know, what else, whatever else you're doing, however else you're refocusing your life, whether you're studying, moving, taking a business up, I wish you all the best. And while I've not really properly, on my own, joined radio station, I just want to say that I've had the best, you know, memories with Mint FM. Because you were there around the time when my life changed. You were there on the night. I remember somebody who's no longer broadcasting. Obviously, Mint FM sadly has changed, has stopped completely. But a gentleman who used to work on Mint FM. I don't want to use names because I don't want to have any more arguments. But I remember listening to that morning type show and hearing about how negative experiences people had with hospitals. And it filling me with quite a bit of fear. Then my transport came up 2 years ago, an hour early, and I literally arrived in Gloucester Hospital an hour early. I was about 11:20 in the morning, and she said, "Oh, it's my 12 o'clock lady already arrived." And I remember people taking my address, my details, my weight, my height, my everything, and I'm thinking, I certainly hope that they are now definitely up for taking me in, because I remembered that I had received the message only 4 or 5 weeks before that they were unable to do my original date, which is why my date was postponed to the 8th of May from the 15th of April. And I was praying hard for my date to be, you know, for it to work now. But I also remember a dream I had, and I believe in dreams sometimes, that they have good encouraging messages. Anywho, I remember them taking my details, saying they're not likely to stop you twice. They're not likely to stop or postpone the operation twice, even though on the same morning they said well, comment anyway, but we don't know if the bit's going to be available. And then I remember a lady, I believe her name was Jill. Either Jill or Cheryl, I never know. I think it was Jill, though. She took me to the ward that I was going to be in and put me into a bed. And I thought, well, if there's a bed for me there, it must be available. And then this young student guy who was helping the anaesthetist was taking me to the anaesthetist prep room. And then this lady called Tracy Clayton, a lady, an anaesthetist, and this young guy called Lee, I believe his name was, talked to me about downhill skiing when you're visually impaired. Next thing I remember, I was put on the operating table, or rather I had to lie down myself to place my legs a certain way so that they could put this pump around me that would push, that would, you know, almost squeeze my legs a certain time so that it wouldn't have a blood clot around it. Then they put this thing in, this stuff into my, you know, my blood that would make me dozy. And the last thing I remember was them saying, take deep breaths and you're going to feel quite woozy and quite, you know, sleepy. And then I was gone. And I woke up with this tremendous pain in my tummy, which was painful, I admit it. But at the same time, I thought, well, if it's painful, I have a good hope that it's been done. And I remember my surgeon coming to me, and I'd been half asleep in my morphine-induced doziness. And I remember he calling me or something, and I was trying to jump up, because when you feel rude for falling asleep, or when you feel rude for being asleep, and you feel you should sit up to pay attention. And I jumped up and he goes, no, 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 stay lying down, it's fine, it's just me. I just wanted to tell you that the operation went really well. And the scary thing was that I was still having this clip on my finger that was connected to this heart monitor. And when I jumped up, my heart literally, I could hear my heartbeats beat up. And it freaked me out. I remember then falling asleep and waking up again. And every half an hour, the nurse is coming in and putting a thermometer into my ear and pricking my finger to get my blood sugar and whatnot, and asking me what scale the pain was. And then I went to the, and then I remember them pulling me up back to the ward. And that's when I stopped sleeping well for a night and actually read. I don't remember what I read at the time. I don't remember. What was it? I don't remember what I read, but I read a book at that time, and I'd read it all night, and I remember having my own room, but I couldn't sleep because they kept chatting to each other, the nurses and whatnot. And then I just remember being on and off asleep the next day. But I remember recording an audiobook and having this mask on my face, and my hubby then FaceTiming me from a Spanish restaurant. I mean, get this, there's me trying to, you know, have a weight management operation, and my hubby ringing me from a Spanish restaurant. And I think all I said was, I'm tired, I've got a mask on, I don't want to talk, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Was that it?
Similar to that.
Yeah, and I remember he had to call my mum, telling her that I recovered. And I literally, I listened back to an audiobook Back in March this year, I literally spent half a night looking at Audioboos from 2 years ago. And I remember I looked at an Audioboo where I was literally sounding quite groggy in hospital, saying, "I'm awake, I'm okay, had a good experience so far." And the hospital experience was not nearly as scary as some people made out to be. Yes, there was a rough time when I had to use a commode chair and somehow weed over it. Yes, there was a scary time when the nurse said, "Well, surely you get dressed by yourself normally, just get dressed." Yes, there was a scary time when it hurt. Yes, it was scary when you didn't know how much you were actually allowed to drink and what was happening next. Yes, it was scary to think, "My gosh, I could smell the breakfast toast wafting through the air, but I can't have anything." But it wasn't all scary because the nurses were ever so kind. They sat down with me and taught me again to inject myself with a fragment or Claxin or whatever it was called, that blood thinning thing that you had to use for a week after being discharged. There was a nurse who carried all my stuff down to the taxi, who was trying to speak German to me because her husband was in the RAF ages ago. Yes, it was scary, but the nurses were primarily very friendly to me. So you shouldn't be surprised that when it comes to the general election, I nowadays think one key importance for me is that the NHS stays alive and stays the way it is and gets more funding. Because if it wasn't for the NHS, I wouldn't be alive. Or maybe I would be, but I wouldn't be diabetes free. I wouldn't be high cholesterol free. I wouldn't be sleep apnea free. I wouldn't be iron deficiency free. I wouldn't be back pain free. I wouldn't be running half marathons. I wouldn't be living my life to the full. Everything we devise as humans have flaws. And yes, the NHS has flaws, but guys, do you not realise how lucky we are in the UK to have the NHS? Do you not realise that to give the NHS extra funding would be amazing? Do you not realise that for 2 years solid nearly, I was speaking to my dietitian and my psychologist in the weight management group saying, "Come on guys, there's so many others in support groups in other regions and we haven't got a support group for those who need it in the weight management department." And they say, "We would love to, but we have no funding." And it literally absolutely frustrates me because there's nothing like meeting up with other people who have the same or a similar surgery, who have similar challenges and similar experiences. And everywhere else you can see, "Oh, I went to the support group, da 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 da," but Glotter doesn't get it. Do you not realise, I don't know if anybody of you guys who are listening to this audioboo actually voted Conservative. I sure hope that certainly those visually impaired people I know on audioboo haven't. And I know that every party has empty promises. But guys, those who promised the NHS extra funding, it would have deserved a vote, because my heart aches and breaks for those in Gloucestershire who are receiving gastric bypass or gastric band surgery even now and have no way of meeting other people in a setting where there might have been a dietitian as well as other people who had similar surgery, and they could have exchanged their experiences. Breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. But that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, it's been 2 years today. It's gone quick. It's really gone quick. And Gav looked at a picture of me from like 2.5 years ago.
Didn't even recognise you.
I want you to speak every thought that you had in your mind, just for all you do.
Well, I thought it was like a balloon. It was like a bodysuit and her neck, her chest, and her chin, or chins, I should say. You know, they just couldn't believe it was her, and her face had like a ballooned up, like it was swollen. And now she's just got a normal bone. You can feel the bones, and you can feel the bones in her neck, and I just can't believe it was her. It's unbelievable, and she's done well, and I'm proud of my missus.
And we forget where we come from sometimes. We do. Guys, I pray, and I hope that those of you who hear this, and I hope that those of you who are browsing the mind, body and soul category, who are not necessarily visually impaired, might see this update. And yes, I might be a little bit more emotional because I'm a little bit drunk because I had a celebration of my 2 year anniversary. But guys, the bottom line is that I believe the conservatives, maybe they're not going to prioritise everything, but they're not the ones who are going to give the most funding to those who actually deserve it. Those people who could do with extra experience from other people who had similar experience. Those people who try the hardest to jump through every hoop. And yes, some hoops are absolutely important to break, to jump through, because it prepares you for the operation. But I'm all for those hoops, because if you don't jump through those hoops, you don't actually know whether you're ready for the operation. If you don't jump through the hoop of trying to lose some weight yourself, you will never know whether you're ready. But those who jump through all the hoops and still haven't got the funding, they won't get the funding out of the Conservatives. That's what my gut feeling is. And my feeling is that I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know whether the funding will go to the NHS. And I have a massive appreciation for the NHS, because coming from Germany, I don't know if I would have had the same chance that I had here. Maybe I would have, but maybe I would have not. It depends where you live, what you do, your connections, and which health insurance you are in Germany. But this NHS is built to give everybody the same opportunity. And the only way of screwing it up is by you not taking it. But if the Conservatives privatise it, you get the same system as it is in the US. You get people saying, I would love a gastric bypass, but I can't afford it. And there are people who are ready to make the change, but they just can't. And I know there are people who claim they are ready, but they're not. But those people will always be there. But you need to think about those who actually want to make the change. So I wanted to say, I'm thankful for the NHS. I'm thankful that it was around when I had the operation. I wish there was more funding for Gloucestershire. I praise God for those towns where there is enough funding for you guys, for people to meet up and give, you know, exchange experiences. And I thank God for my experience with the NHS. for the aftercare. I'm only just now being discharged this month at some point. There's a 2-year aftercare. Even if you paid for your operation, you don't know if you actually get the aftercare. And I just want to thank the NHS. Because without the NHS, as a girl who was visually impaired, non-benefits, I wouldn't have lost 11.5 stone. I wouldn't have no more diabetes, no more cholesterol, no more sleep apnea, no more back pain. I wouldn't be able to run 2 half marathons last year and another 10K this year. I wouldn't have the self-confidence and the appreciation of my body that I have now. I wouldn't have the appreciation of life that I have now. And I wish I could have said that before the election. But I just pray and hope and pray and pray and pray again that the NHS won't be swallowed up in privatisation, because there are people like me who are prepared to jump through the hoops. And you know, the hoops, the training hoops in a circus is to make sure that the performance goes well. The hoops might be hoops that might annoy people, like, why do I have to jump through the hoop of losing 10% of my body weight? But believe me, it prepares you for life after a gastric bypass. If you just could pay for your operation, and that's expensive, but even if you could pay for it, if you don't have the before and after care, you're screwed and you're going to screw up your life, because you're going to assume that you can eat just the same crap only in small quantities, and you're going to ruin your bypass and you're going to ruin your life. So the NHS put those loops, those hoops in place for a good reason. So, I wish I could have said, save your NHS. I don't know what's going to happen on David Cameron and the majority conservative thing. I can't say what's going to happen. I don't want to speculate, but I just want to say I am one of the people, and I don't even feel like I earn it, because I'm not even British. I'm actually a EU citizen. But I have been very much blessed by the NHS. I don't want any of those people to miss out who could do with it. So I just want to reflect on those 2 years. What happened in those 2 years? I lost 11.5 stone. For those of you who are not in the UK, that's 73-ish kilograms. That's 150-ish or more pounds, for goodness sake. And I am not bragging, I am just saying that, guys, it's possible. And I haven't got diabetes, I haven't got sleep apnea, cholesterol, my blood is fine, my vitamins are fine. I ran 2 half marathons, I'm thinking of running a marathon next year. I couldn't walk for 2 minutes, let alone 2 miles. Now I'm planning and thinking of next year running 26.2 miles. You can't just do that by your willpower alone. You've got to have the health for it. So, 3 lessons, I guess, that I would take of this. Is be grateful for where you've come from, no matter whether you're in the UK, US, Germany. Be grateful for where you've come from, the change you've already made. Be grateful for the systems you have in place that help you, such as the NHS. Don't take it for granted. See, be grateful for your health. If you have good health, be grateful, don't take it for granted, appreciate it. That's all I wanted to say. And I hope you could listen, and I hope I might get some comments of this. Not to recognise me, but to recognise those things that we have that we take for granted, such as our health, people around us to support us, the health insurance or health system we have, and just experience. And also use your experience to help other people who are struggling, because they then can help those who are struggling again, and you start a chain reaction. Don't just keep it to yourself. Help others. And if I can help you in any way, whether it's just to lose 2 stone, or whether it's to lose 11 stone with a gastric bypass, I don't care how I can help. As long as I can help, just by sharing my story, just contact me. And again, I want to thank you also for those of you guys, especially my hubby, who's seen me through all of this, and God, and everybody here, even those I'm no longer in contact with, such as, you know, friends I'm no longer in contact with. You know who you are. People I don't no longer speak as much to. I want to thank you for supporting me for the last 2 years. I want you to know that even if I'm no longer in contact with you regularly, I'm still appreciating you. So don't take anything for granted, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm going to stop here. Have a good night, and feel free to comment if you like.